One of the things that makes me saddest as the pastor in a progressive Christian tradition like the United Church of Christ is the way some progressive folks have increasingly turned away from the Bible. Why have they done that? Well, entire generations grew up hearing the Bible primarily used as a weapon against certain segments of our communities. Scriptures were misappropriated and used to justify discrimination against women, people of color, lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered persons, and even persons of other faiths. In fact, to this very day, whenever anti-discrimination measures are passed, legislators go out of their way to exempt religious institutions from those measures. They believe that the right to discriminate is an important part of what it means to be a Christian. And that makes me sick to my stomach. For as anyone who reads the Bible regularly knows, the values contained in Scripture look very different than the ones some folks use to justify discriminatory pieces of legislation. You want proof? Well, you have to look no further than this morning's passage from the book of Acts. This morning's passage contains one of the Christian community's earliest blueprints for what a community shaped by the values of Jesus should look like, and how it should act. So, listen carefully to that vision. And then, let's talk about how that vision might shape us today and how we are in the world. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, as read from the Common English Bible. The believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the community, to their shared meals, and to their prayers. A sense of awe came over everyone. God performed many wonders and signs through the apostles. All the believers were united and shared everything. They would sell pieces of property and possessions and distribute the proceeds to everyone who needed them. Every day, they met together in the temple and ate in their homes. They shared food with gladness and simplicity. They praised God and demonstrated God's goodness to everyone. And the Lord added daily to the community those who were being saved. Thus ends the reading. A pretty powerful blueprint, huh? You probably haven't heard any candidates use that piece of scripture when they've run for office, have you? Well, Pastor Craig, if those words are in fact in the Bible, you might wonder, then why don't people talk more about them? Well, the answer is pretty easy. You see, when it comes to some of the most challenging content in Scripture, there's a part of our brain that tells us, you know, that stuff sounds good, but it's not practical. We can never actually live by those biblical standards. Really. One of the books I read this semester for the class I'm taking in my doctoral work was a book titled Free of Charge, Giving and Forgiving in a Culture Stripped of Grace, written by Miroslav Volf. And in that book, Volf laid out a relatively simple formula for how we might gain the ability to live into those biblical values. Let me take a moment and spell that out for you. Miroslav Volf says that if you have any hope of living into the vision, you have to accept one fact. When it comes to the things that we have accomplished or acquired in life, we pretend that we aren't receiving those things as gifts from God, he says. We pretend that we've earned them. And that pretense is our most basic sin. Now, once we stop taking credit for everything and start giving credit to where it's due, things change. We can move from being tight-fisted creatures who hoard everything that we've acquired to radically generous creatures anxious to share what's been so freely given to us. But in order to share, I mean, share in the deep ways the book of Acts talks about, Our thinking must change in regard to three matters, Fulfe says, about the things we possess, about other people, and about ourselves. In what ways, you ask? Well, when it comes to the things we possess, once we finally get it through our thick little heads that our possessions have been given to us and not earned, our way of life changes. Instead of being people whose way of life is defined by earning and possessing, we can be transformed into people whose way of life is all about giving. You feel that difference between earning and possessing and giving? Same thing happens when we change our way of thinking about others. When our lives are about earning and possessing, we see others in just one way, as competitors or as opponents. But when our lives become about giving to others what has been so freely given to us, we start to think different about others. They're no longer competitors or opponents. Now they become collaborators and teammates. And there's one more shift that has to take place, Fulfe says. A shift in how we think about ourselves in the past, in the present, and in the future. You see, when we define our lives by earning and possessing, Fulfe says, we have a warped perspective on the different times of our lives. The past represents a time when we were cheated out of things that we should have had. The present is all about the things that we should have, but others are taking or keeping from us. And the future, it's full of angst, full of thoughts about how we can earn and possess as much as humanly possible. Not so when our lives are defined as receivers of God's generous gifts. We grow, for instance, in our ability to celebrate with gratitude all of the blessings of our past. We grow in our ability to be, get this, content in the present with what we have. And we grow in our ability to look at the future, no longer with angst, but with trust in God, claiming the hope that we will have what we need when we need it. And so, my friends, as we go forth this day, let us remember the closing sentence from this morning's passage, a sentence that read, "And the Lord added daily to the community those who were being saved." For that sentence reminds us from what it is that our faith saves us, from a world defined by earning and possessing. That sentence reminds us also of what we have been delivered into, a world defined by gratitude and generosity. May that world be so. Amen.